Go on.
When we all lived at home, I was in a little cottage next door. A man named Freddie Peacock lived here, a farmer. And he wouldn't come and say to you, if you want anything, will you do this and will you do that? He just come and tell you to do it. You say, you want to ask you to do it, tell you to do it. Well, anyway, me and my brother Sam were still at home, young men. Other brothers were married and gone. Well, he had a mare expecting a foal named Topsy. So, my poor old dad, he never done the work for years. He was asthma.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get his breath and that. So anyway, we were at work and this here mare would do the foal. So, you exercising this here mare and at night when we had a tea and that, he comes in next door. Where are you? We sit there. He says, the old mare'll have a foal tonight. He didn't say, will you come and help me? He said, oh, it will knock on the door when I want some help. He said, don't be a bloody nearer coming. Otherwise, all right. Well, we knew my dad had him because he never slept very much. Well, anyway, about 1 o'clock in the morning, they come and knock on the front door. My dad said, George. Yeah, he said, Freddie's just been. Well, I woke my brother, he was slept with Sam. I said, Sam, I said, Freddie's just been. He said, right, so we just hit the bed, gets dressed, comes, hit that garden up this. Because there were no lights and no little hall lamps. No electric light, no electric. So anyway, we went in the stable. He sat there with his here mare. We sat there, about half an hour. I said, I don't think she's going to have a foal tonight now. She got up and started eating. So, we still sat there about another half hour. He said, no, he said, she ain't going to have a foal tonight. He said, you might as well go and go to bed. So, of course, only about a half minute's walk up the next yard, so we went. So, when we got upstairs, my dad says, what do you got? I said, we ain't got nothing, not tonight. He said, it's a false alarm. So, of course, the next day we were just up like goes to work. In the meantime, he used to exercise this mare up and down the road, give exercise, and my poor old dad was there. He said, she'll foal tonight, Freddie. He said, yes, I think she will. The milk will run in from me. Are you perhaps never seen it? He said, yes, I don't think she'll go long. He said, wax on a test like that. He said, it's milk wax, ain't it? He said, yes, because they have wax on the test, then brown, then it turns when it's milk white.
Yeah.
And the milk will fly in from. He said, yes, I think you'll have one tonight. So anyway, when we come home out of tea, I says to my dad, I said, is Topsy foal? He says, no. Well, I said, oh, she foals before we go to bed. So, anyway, we sat there about 9 o'clock. Of course, there was nothing, nowhere to go. We had to make our own measurements then. He come round, knocked the door, and he said, we slept a foal tonight. So he said, don't be a nearer coming. All right. Well, we were bed. I said to Sam, I'm going to bed. I said, we're near it here. So anyway, we went to bed and come, my dad and mother and they come to bed and about half past 12, perhaps 1. They come and knock on the door. Dad said, George, could I get you in the middle? I said, right. Said to Sam, he's just been. So of course we got ready and away. We come up this yard and went in the stable. Gonna have a foal for it? He said, yes, I think we'll have one tonight. So we sat there. About half hour, she laid down, but we got the foal. Beautiful foal. So he said, well, stop with a little while, because, you know, as soon as the foal's born, they try to get up.
Yeah.
So the foal tried, and of course they can't get up, they plunge a bit and fall down, you know, and we stopped with her, and about half hour, the foal tried to get up, and we steadied it. Foal tries to suck as soon as ever they get up on the feet, they want to suck.
Of course.
So we start with it and that's soaked. Well, he got a housekeeper named Billy Mills worked for him, but he used to live in Butler's Lane in a little old ears. So he says to me, he said, Neil George, he said, you go down and knock Billy Mills up.
Well, he didn't ask, he told you.
No, he said, you go down and knock Billy Mills up and tell him to come. He said, and don't tell him we've got a foal. I said, all right. So, of course, him and Sam come in and boil the kettle for a cup of tea. He said, "There'll be a cup of tea when you come by." I said, "Oh, yeah." All he goes there in Butler's Lane, knocks the front door. Well, back door, because it wasn't the front, because it was Lane. Billy put his head at the window. This would be at what? 2 a.m. I was still. I said, "You got to come." I said, "The old mare's uneasy." "Well, she's got the foal, you see."
Yeah.
"All right," he said, "wait for me. You're only a little fella." So, of course, Billy got dressed and here he come. He said, "Do you think she's going to foal George?" "Well," I said, "she keeps getting up and laying down." So I said, "No doubt she'll have it." "Well, she'd already got it."
"Yeah."
Come up the yard here. Come in here. So Sam and Freddie pick up. They got the tea, cups of tea. "Come on, Billy, and have a cup of tea." He said, "I think I'll go and have a look at it." He said, "Come on, have a cup of tea." So, of course, he sits there and there's a cup of tea. "Oh," he says, "my cup of tea." "Oh, Anton's got a phone number. Oh, I ain't got to you." So we sit there. So Billy says, "I think I'll go and have a look at it. Got the little old line. You seen him, ain't you?"
"Yeah, yeah."
Away he went, because we sat in this kitchen. This very is. He was gone the window wall. Well, Freddie says, "What the hell's happened?" He said, "He don't come by." I said, "No," I said, "he will do." So anyway, all at once Billy come in. Freddie says to him, he said, "You've been a long while, Billy." "Ha." Billy said, "Good job, boy, went just as I did." He said, "What's the matter?" "Well," he said, "she was just having a foal." "Well," he said, "well, she got two." "No," he said, "she's only got one." He said, "I got there just in time." "Oh," he said, "you bloody liar." He said, "we foaled her half here before George come out of here." So we had to. He said, "up and silk." He said, "before sending."
That's a good minute.
Yeah, that's the truth. My brother Simon tell you the same.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did they have a vet in them days then? What come
round? Oh, yeah, used to have a vet. Tom Peters' father, Ernie Peters, because you don't remember him, do you?
No.
He used to be a vet. Oh, he used to go be a vet, and his father, that'd be Tom Peters' grandfather, he used to live where? Well, I don't know who lives there, Neil. Against the church, you know, where Mrs. Jessie Debbie lived.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to live there. He was asked out when I had them.
Ah.
But most people used to have Ronsomen from Ely. But, of course, he were asked out. Vet, this Peters, yeah, he used to go around.
I suppose they needed them, didn't they, in them days?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of horses.
Yes, they did.
Did yours ever get anything wrong with them, or
yes.
What you had?
Do you know, I remember one year, I don't know what year it was, there was a complaint about it. They were called the horse flew. No one the people's had it. No one the people's lost it. And I come home, I got...
Lost your horses from it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They died.
Rough stuff.
And I come home and I think we got six. Got three in the stable, and anyway, what happened, I don't know, but they got it on the road and they went up the road. And my poor old dad said, "They don't lose their feathers so much." I said, "No," but I said, "the young mare, she was 3-year-old, woman foal." I said, "She's finally coughing." Well, he said, "She's all right." Well, anyway, we weren't satisfied. We sent for Ronson from Ely. I said, "You're coming over a lot?" He said, "Yes." He said, "So-and-so's got the flu." I said, "Waterloo's got the flu, and so-and-so's got the flu, so-and-so's got the flu." And this here mare coughed. He said, "She's got the flu." I said, "I thought she had it." She went up the road. And... George Day lost one, Waterloo lost 2 or 3, I lost mine.
You did?
Yeah.
What, the mare that was in foul?
Yeah, mare was in foul, she died. And we lost no end, but they give it the name as flew, but the old horsemen, real old horsemen, they used to say what they call the pink eye. But new names, you see.
Yeah.
They give it the flew. Yes, there was a terrible lot of mares. Horses died in Ilra and Adam that time.
Well, couldn't the vet do anything?
No, you couldn't just do nothing. You couldn't... Well, I think the lungs used to go.
Yeah.
Fake the lungs and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were gone as weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, a bit rough, wasn't it?
Ah.
You didn't lose any other horses that way, did you?
No.
That was the only way you lost them?
Oh, I've had... I might have struck with lightning.
Struck with lightning?
Yeah.
How come?
Because, this is my grassland, see, they used to be in there. what's it, they come up there, there was 8 to 9 of them, old uns and young uns, and we used to fill the tow up every pond. They used to be pondy, yeah.
Is that the one where they drove all those people in?
That's right.
Drove them in there through the eggs at them.
That's right. Well, we filled the tubs up, and these horses been up here to drink. And we stood out there in the evening. Neighbours and that, we all stood there looking at them. They went down there behind one another. Their horses run behind one another. And all at once, there come a clap of thunder. And of course, lightning, because it was all lightning before thunder.
Yeah.
But what happened, we didn't know until this clap of thunder. They were running down there behind one another. And one of them went out like that. Young mare. And they said, hey, well, your mare's fell down, George. And then the thunder. Oh, she struck with lightning. They said, do you think? I said, yeah, when we got down there, run down there, she was dead as a doornail. So anyway.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah. She was insured. I rung the insurance up. That was a Cambridge phone. I said that I just had a mare killed. They said, ew. I said, what's insured? I said, well, lightning. Well, they said, whatever you're talking about. They said, there ain't been no lightning. I said, well, she's been struck with lightning. Well, they said, look here, they said, we'll send for, I think it was Pink then, from Cambridge. Send him here and collect her. Because said, we'd like to have a look at her. Runs one night, yeah. I said, yeah. So we stood here and been near an hour and a half. This here big ass about to draw it out. See her stand there? I said, could you tell us where Mr. Emmer's place is? I said, yes. I said, we go down this field. I said, shut up with lightning. Well, he said, we ain't had no lightning. Oh, well, I said, I don't know what you're at. I said, I knew that there was a clap of thunder. I said, and there must have been some lightning. I said, and we stood looking at her. I said, and she was just went across the road there. And the fella got down there and he said, yes, you're right. It hit her in the neck and you see, it burns them. Down the chest and that and straight down the front foot into the ground. A mark, like your finger.
God.
Where the lightning hit her. Hit her side there and went down the chest and down the front leg. He said, yes, said, you're right. He said, look, you said, burn it right down. Bit. A mark, like your finger all the way down, where the lightning went.
Well, it went down, yeah.
Scorched her. He said, that was lightning. I said, I knew it were. I said, there we never see the flash lightning. I said, we heard the clap of thunder. Well, you see, when the clap of thunder, she was rolling over dead then, because the lightning all comes forth under, don't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he said, yeah. And of course, they took her down, and when the insurance man came, he said, you're right, George. Said, she was struck. I said, I knew she were. Of course, they paid. Oh, yes, they paid.
How much did you insure a horse for?
I think she was insured for 30 guineas. That was a lot of money then.
Oh, 30 guineas.
That were a lot of money. I think it was 30 guineas.
So that's the only way you lost your horses, through the flu and...
Flu and got down with lightning.
That's remarkable.
I tell you a lie. I had one drowned in the brook down there. That's the dike for you there is what we call the brook.
Yeah.
That takes, I don't know, I don't know what it does now. It just takes all the street water down there.
Yeah, it probably does.
And there's a bridge, an arrow bridge, where we go into one field and another. Well, you know, when it's hot, these here horses will all stand together, the flies around them.
Yeah.
And they were on this here bridge, and one fell in this here brook, and she got drowned in there. See, it was narrow at the bottom, she couldn't get here. Yeah, went down there, there she got drowned. Only about a foot of water, but she got her nose right down in it.
Yeah.
And she was drowned in it.
That's the only way you've lost horses.
Yeah, it's the only way I lost them.
Well, flu claimed a lot of them then in Adam.
Oh, they're terrible. I don't know what year it was here, but it must have been what? I think that's 50 years ago. When that flew at us, that were terrible.
Did it strike any other villages?
Peoples?
Other villages?
Oh, yes, there was no end of people. It was like a plague, went over the place. Some places it missed, but lots of people had it about and lost them.
That's rough, isn't it, when you lose your horses like that?
That is.
Did you have a horseman, or were you the
horseman? I used to have Sid Abbs used to work for me. Yeah, we used to deer ourselves, deer the horses and cows and everything. Yeah.
You had cows then?
16.
Dairy as well? Milking cows?
Yeah, I was milking cows.
Ah.
Oh yeah, we used to milk 16.
So you had your own milk?
Me and Sid Abbs, 8 in the morning, 8 a night apiece, and then deal with horses, and then go down the fence and plough and do the work. Oh yes.
I think you had a lot of harness then, didn't you?
Yes, we did. No end. Well, you got to. Because see, we got enough harness to harness 6 horses here. And yeah. You also have a spare collar at you and a spare saddle at you and a spare bridle at you.
Yeah. Where'd you get your saddle and harness from?
Oh, you said you made in Harry Newman. You don't remember Harry Newman?
No.
His father, the harness maker, he used to make them up for us, didn't you?
He did.
And then Harry took it on, yeah. Well,
where did he live, the harness
maker? Harry Newman's father had a shop where, do you know where Mrs. Wallace lives?
Yeah.
Well, that's a new bungalow there. Yeah. He used to be in the shop there.
And that's where they used to make...
That's where he did it. And then Harry Newman, when he got married, he used to live down there where... Jack, you know where Jack Whitman lives, down the station?
No, I don't.
Just you go down the Station Hill?
Yeah.
On the right-hand side, you know where... Well, I told you, Porter's Butcher Shop is first here, something
different? Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jack Whitman lives opposite side. And if you look, there's a shop, Vendor's Hills. That's where Harry Newman used to do it.
And they used to make your harness for
Yeah, they used to make your harness and mend them and do everything.
Was it expensive?
Well, it were, I suppose, then, but I mean... No, not like this today.
Yeah.
So you'd have a new saddle for about 25 bob then, but of course have a lot of money then.
Oh, yeah. And how long would these saddles last you?
Oh, years.
They would?
Yes.
They're good stuff then?
Yes.
Could you get them patched up then?
Yes, patch them up, do anything. They would. Yeah, then they used to be, if you couldn't get rid of them, you used to take them to something. They used to be a man there used to do them. I forget his name, and another one at Ely used to do them firm arts.
Ah, so you keep your saddles made.
Yes,
right.
And then the latter part of the time, when Newman, old Harry Newman's father, and they got so bit independent, they wouldn't do it. They used to be a man coming through from St. Ives. Every Thursday, like today, he'd go to Ely. He'd stop, he'd go to the Corn Exchange, he used to have a storms, one of you. Tell him what you want in that, what you got to do. He'd pick them up when he went home. Bring them back next Thursday.
Next Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Rob, that were.
Yeah. Ah, so you're right for saddle.
Yes, you can get anything done. Just say to Mr. Rob, I'll have a couple of collars, one line, or three collars, will you take them? Yes, he'd take them. They'd be back next Thursday.
That's good, that is.
Yeah.
Where'd you used to get your horses from?
Breed them. We used to breed
your own. You breed your own?
Yeah.
Where'd you get your first sort of stock, so to speak, from?
Well, one of the first I bought. A mare I bought it off a man named Giles at Wichford. And his son, I went and seen, I heard he was selling one, and I wanted one. And that ended up for an auction at Cambridge. And he lived near as you go to Little Downham. Have you ever been to Little Downham?
Yeah.
There used to be a mill on the left-hand side, years ago. And he used to live down in Joyve. And I heard about this, and I went to see him. His name was Billy Giles. I said, tell me, Mr. Giles, you've got a mare. I said, you're entered to the Cambridge auction. He said, yes, I am. I said, can I have a look at it? I said, well, she's out in the field. So, of course, we were good down the field, and he showed me her. And I said, well, what are you selling her for? He said, there's no fault, and he said, she ain't so big as others. And that was heavy land, you know. And that was just... My line was black, and everything was just too much for her, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, that's only four. He said, she ain't quite big enough. And I said, what are you asking for? Well, he said, she's got to make so and so much. Of course, he said, we ordered Doc's box at Ely Station to take her. And we also entered her, Cambridge. I said, well, I said, I'll have her. I think it was 60 guineas. He said, well, he said, you better call and see me father. He said he lives in Hillsnail at Wichford. You turn here, Gruntafen Way. It's the last house on the left-hand side as you go up the hill.
Yeah.
I think Church Commission's got the farm here. His name was Jesse Giles. So I called there and I didn't know the man. I said, you Mr. Giles? He said, yes. I said, well, I've been down on the farm. See your son Billy. Oh, yes, sir. I said, you've got a grey mare going to auction next week. He says, yes. He said, in fact, he said, he's ordered the box and everything. I said, yes, he is. Well, I said, I'm going to see her, and I like her. I said, and he told me what she's going to make. I said, and he told me to call and see you. Well, he said, he's old enough and big enough to sell a mare, isn't he? I said, well, there, yeah, he told me. I said, I'm offering him what she's going to make, otherwise she's coming home. Well, he said, you can have her. He said, and I'll ring him up now. and tell him to cancel our spouse, you see. Because you let him know that he didn't want that spouse. He said, and also ring Peter Grange at Cambridge and tell him we withdraw there.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, well, tell him then. I said, I'll have her. And will he meet me tomorrow morning with her, you see, when you tell him? You see, I'll start on my bike and he starts on his own with her. And he met me in just coming Grunfen.
Uh-huh.
That's where we met.
So you made your deal there?
Yes, we had the deal and I bought her.
Where'd you get your mail horses from?
Well, we used to travel, Chivers's.
Ah.
There used to be one. In my time, because see, they used to come here and travel. They knew in Dars come here, Neil, on the Arden in the house box. They used to walk. They used to start 1st of April. They were April, May and June, 3 months.
And they take these miles round then?
They take these miles round. I'm known adding them. 6 or 7 different males and adding them in the week.
Ah.
They used to put up with the Popes. Some used to put up with the Three Kings, some at the Checkers, some down to, well, where Morris Burton lives now, you see.
And you could choose which one you wanted?
Well, they'd be different people, and you used to have a look out and round and say, well, I'll put one here. There used to be one come from Ely and all over the show.
Yeah.
Chivers's, he went on every horse, he was Persian. And you see, you get every horse, and a Persian, that was a nice cross.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
So most people used to go on the Persian cross.
And then just put them out in the field?
Yeah, just have the foals and turn them out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that Chivers, he used to own a lot of land, didn't he, around here?
He used to own all Aldrith.
Did he
all? Yeah,
best
all Aldrith. Yeah.
Did he have any down Hill Road?
No.
He didn't?
Aldrith Hills. The nearest slope to what's across there.
Mind you, he was all fruit, weren't he? He weren't.
He was fruit.
He was fruit.
Well, bare in the fen over the cottage bridge over the Plaid. A lot of Plaid land. Well, what's the name he's got it now? Macadorum.
Yeah. They used to employ a lot of people down old.
Oh, I think they did.
They're big farmers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nearly all Hill Row in my time, all the land down this hill, belonged to Bill Burkett.
Ah?
My boy's uncle, Bill, used to live in, Coffin Garden, don't you?
Yeah.
Papa's house?
Yeah.
Well, he built that.
Ah?
Certainly did. Bill Burkett dug his own bricks, burned them, and built that himself. Dug his own stove.
He did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Burned his bricks, made his bricks down in an old kiln and built his house.
Well, do you must remember brickworks at Haddon then.
Certainly do, both lots.
Well, couldn't you? I wonder if you'd help us. What sort of happened down there? What'd they do?
Well, they were one belonged to Jewson's and one belonged to Porter's. To your brickyards. They got messed up and the snow was sanded in. Jeez, I remember them brickyards.
They dig the clay and make the bricks.
Dig the clay and they used to turn that clay, water it, and then for so long then they used to cut it in bricks and bake them.
They bake them, what do they burn, charcoal?
I don't know what they burn, I think it was coal.
Coal?
I should think it was coal, yeah, in them kilns.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a brickyard, Adam Station side. Then in where Jack Ginn's lives, Jack,
yeah,
I feel
yeah.
that's where the other brickyard were.
They employ local people?
Oh yes, they have no end of people. When I say no end in them times, 60 or 70 people in them brickyards. Yeah.
Well, Sid Feast, he was something to do with them, wasn't he?
I don't know if Sid Feast had anything to do with the brickyards, but he was a carpenter and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were quite a big thing in the time, weren't they, brickyards?
Oh, well,
they lasted.
They kept adding them going, the brickyards, in their deal.
Would they take some of the bricks out via the railway?
Yes, they used to belong. The railway used to run into the brickyard, there were sidings.
Ah?
At Adam Station.
Yeah.
There were siding in there, they used to put the trucks in there, and they used to load the trucks up and where they used to go.
So they sort of take the bricks out of the immediate area on the railway?
New markets built with Adam Brick.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Nearly all new markets had them break.
Ah? Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Harry Feast built it. Sid Feast's father, nay.
Wow.
built nearly all new market.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And they used Adnan brick.
Adnan brick, yeah, and he used to have no end of men work for him. Yeah, nearly all new markets built Adnan brick.
Were they good bricks?
Yes, they were.
They were.
They were good brick. Yeah, they were.
Well, what were the names of some of the people who worked at them brickyards?
Oh, good God. Now you're asking me, son. Well, I remember you knew Pat Weston, didn't you?
Who?
Did you know Pat Weston?
No, I didn't, no.
He worked there. Bill Setchell worked there. My brother Wall worked there.
He
I
did.
Don't think my father did, but... Oh, no wonder people work there.
Did you ever go?
No.
You were on the farm?
I was on the farm. When I come here to school, I went on the land.
Yeah.
Yes, there was no end of people from the old row and hiding them all around working them brickyards.
They were a big thing,
then. I don't know why my father didn't work in them in his younger days. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, it was a big concern then. There. I remember them building the chimney. We see them start it. When we worked over North End, me and Fred, we see them build it and finish it and work it, and we see them knock down.
So you saw it all the
we
way?
We see the lot, that new chimney.
Was it very big?
Yes, that was a 100 and some odd feet away.
Ah.
Yeah,
that was a big one, wasn't it?
Oh, big chimney. And we see them build it. We used to watch it going up. And all at once, they said they were going to knock it down. We see it go down.
Why did they knock it down?
Well, you see, there weren't no more the bricks. You see, they didn't want them.
Ah.
These other up-to-date brickyards, you see.